back. Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. Back again for another podcast just for you. I don't know what I was going to talk about today. I kind of was planning on doing this. I wanted to get a podcast out for you guys. I've been looking for a guest to come on and do it with me, but as you can tell today, I am alone. But that doesn't stop me from wanting to talk to you guys, because you know, you are the people. You are the one to keep this alive, and you are the reason. Actually, you are the wind beneath my wings. Speaking of wings, this is kind of what got me upset today. I turned on the news, saw the thing about the Malaysian airline. I thought, oh, did they finally find the missing Malaysian airline? No. You know what they did? They shot down a Malaysian airliner. Yes, as of today, what is today? July 17th. So whatever time you're hearing this or day you hear this. July 17th, they're reporting that a Malaysian airline, not the lost one, a new one, has been shot down over the Ukraine. Oh my God, what are we becoming? Is this going to be the start of World War III? Are we watching it right now? I mean, who does this? As this unfolds, I'm sure we will find out. But man, as if you know, flying and travel wasn't scary enough, now you got to worry about just being shot out of the air. Forget about the TSA guys. They're finding something in your luggage. No, you need to find the guy in the bushes with a shoulder-mounted rocket. I guess that's what we need to look for now. What the... Yes, I almost said it, and I probably should have, because this is Remasculate, and I can say whatever the I want to say on this show. So does that not scare the shit out of you now that planes are just being shot out of the sky? Oh, sure. Yeah, we're going to say, yeah, but that's over in that part of the country. For now, when does it get here? This has got to stop. We have got to do something. When are we just going to open our eyes and say, look, there are bad people and they need to be dealt with immediately, swiftly, and deadly? You know what I mean? What has happened? I don't remember this growing up as a kid. And again, we'll go back to all the, well, you always think it's better because when you were growing up as a kid, it just seemed rose-colored glasses, blah, 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 blah. Well, yes, it did it seem better? Why? Probably because it was better. Unlocked doors. Your neighbors didn't kill you in the night. Maybe one. Yeah, there might have been one. I'm not painting it with a broad brush and saying it never happened. Damn, it just seems like everywhere you look and live, there's violence and crime and people wanting to kill people. What the is happening to our world today? And speaking of Malaysia Airlines, why have we not ever found the missing one? Is anybody else thinking how weird this is that a plane full of people just absolutely disappears? Oh, sure, it gave CNN something to talk about 24/7, and it was all over everybody's Facebook feed and Twitter there for a while, and we all worried about it and talked about it, like what could have happened to it. Maybe it fell into Kim Kardashian's vagina and was never seen again. But the point is, everybody just stopped talking about it. Isn't that weird to you that society just moves on? How does that happen? How does a plane full of people just disappear and everybody goes, oh well, hey, Big Brother's on. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off on a little rant here, but it's weird to me. It's like we just constantly get fed shit from the media and we don't care. We think we do, but we don't. We want to care, but we just aren't those kind of people. Or maybe there's the overly sensitive people that just care too much, and we get annoyed by their Facebook feed of saying, where's Malaysia Airline? What happened to the Malaysia Airline? Are we still looking for the Malaysia Airline? And we unfriend them or just stop following them. And then we move on. It's just weird to me. The whole thing is just becoming strange to me. And, you know, like the other day, my girlfriend said to me, is this something else you don't like? Now, I don't really understand what that means, because I don't, it's not that I don't like something, it's that I'm a comic and I'm looking for things to make fun of or make jokes about, or, you know, that's just the world that I live in, the comic world. I'm constantly looking for input and things to talk about. So it's not that I don't like things. Okay, there are some things like bro country. Can't stand it. But y'all know that. Anybody listens to the show knows, freaking can't stand it. So anyway, back to the Malaysia Airlines. It's not that I don't like news about it. I just kind of got tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over. It's kind of like, you know, a kid tugging at your pants. Daddy, 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 daddy. You're like, what? Okay, I got it. You want my attention. But that's kind of what happened, I think, with the Malaysia airline. You keep hearing the same thing over Malaysia, Malaysia, disappear, disappear, Malaysia, Malaysia, disappear. Okay, you know what? Get back to me when you find something. Now, going back to my other point again, maybe they haven't found anything, so they're just not reporting it. Or did they find something out and not want to report it because they know it'll scare the big old crap turd out of us? Possibly. And now, as it turns out, another one gets shot down. Something's going on. Are we witnessing the start of World War III? Could be. This is how stuff happens, you know. Somebody pisses them off, they get pissed off, they shoot somebody, they retaliate. Look what's going on right now with in Israel and Palestine. They're just like, you know, they're fighting back and forth. They're killing our kids. You shot a rocket over here, so we shot back. Yeah, but yours killed kids. Oh, okay, whatever. Just, it's all bad. Let's just calm down. Calm the down and kind of figure out what's going on with this world, okay? That's what I'm saying right now. All right, well, I'm going to take a little break here, sip a cup of coffee, and I'll be back with some stories that I want to talk to you guys about. And this will become a much more fun podcast than it started off. I guarantee it. Okay, I'm back. Got a little story here. I saw this the other day on the news, and I thought this was really interesting, especially in this day and age of everybody's privacy and concerns of privacy and parents with their children's privacy, because, you know, that's a big thing now. Don't go in your child's room. Don't read their diary. Don't invade their space. They won't respect you. They won't come and talk to you. You know, they need to be treated like little tiny adults. And blah, 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 blah. I've been doing that a lot today, haven't I? Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I found this story about worried parents of teens that are hiring drug-sniffing dogs to search the house. Would you do that? I mean, I know that's what parents used to do in years past. That's what my parents did. They didn't use drug-sniffing dogs because, you know, mom had a nose like a, I don't know, like a bloodhound. My mom was one of those. I think everybody's mom was back then. They all had, they were super sleuths. They knew things, or they found out things, and you would come home, and they knew exactly what you had done wrong. And they always said, because a little bird told them. Well, where's my freaking BB gun? Because I want to shoot that bird. Well, as you get older, you figure out what it was. It was the neighborhood chain of command. Some mom saw you. They told another mom. That mom told your mom. You know, worked like that. There was the whole stay-at-home mom chain of command, how to raise kids. Oh my God, did I say something about stay-at-home moms? What the fuck? I need to be killed. Anyway, back to the parents that are using drug-sniffing dogs. Would you use that? Okay, here's what's going on. Some concerned parents are doing just this, and at a cost of several hundred dollars. This one woman says, she became very worried that my daughter was hanging around with kids that were doing drugs. We didn't want her, the woman said she didn't want her last name used, but she hired a private company to bring Roxy, a white German shepherd who used to work for the military, into her Houston home to check for illegal drugs. The woman was worried about what Roxy might find. quote, "Oh, I was very nervous that she was going to find drugs in the garage," she said. The dog was super sensitive. The dog with the super sensitive nose did indeed find marijuana in the garage, a discovery that was difficult for the woman and her daughter. The daughter was very upset that I invaded her privacy, the mom said. But it led to a conversation that she believes will help her daughter turn her life around. The daughter has now found a new group of friends, and her grades have improved. So, look, here's the deal. Would you do that? Do you trust your kid enough? And if you do, you know you're probably being stupid. Kids are not going to tell you the truth. They know they're doing wrong. You knew you were doing wrong. You hid shit from your parents. You know you did. This is how the game of parent-child works. They do shit, try to hide it. You do stuff, try to find it. That's the way it works. Go through their sock drawer. Look in the boxes in their closet. You have to find out what's going on. I don't understand how parents are so blindly just wandering around. My kid's perfect. My kid wouldn't do anything wrong. Well, apparently they are, because this company is making a ton of money. Using a dog like this can help parents who feel they have no other options. It's a tool that parents can use to help get their child the help that they need, this dog handler is saying. Handlers for drug dogs say it's a steady business, and it can cost $200 to $500. Would you hire a drug-sniffing dog to search your home? The highly trained dogs can detect drugs, firearms, and explosives. But can the dogs detect something really harmful to your children, like if they're watching episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Now, for more information about these drug-sniffing dogs in your area, do what I always say. Google, bitches. Google drug-sniffing dogs and put your town in. And, hey, if you do it or if you're thinking about doing it, give me a holler back here. McGrew@MSN.com. All right? McGrew@MSN.com. Another sip of coffee, and I'll be right back. Raising a dog is a lot like raising a child, and I've done one of those, and dogs. I've done both, actually, but I found this little story about myths that are passed around. They're like facts, you know. It's hard to tell what's right and what's wrong and what's dangerous and what's good for your dog and what's not. So here's this article that I have found about myths about dogs. Dogs age 7 years for every human year. The average life expectancy of a dog is about 1/7 of a human's. A dog ages significantly faster in the first year of its life than a human, and significantly slower after the age of 2, or younger for smaller breeds. According to the myth, a 2-year-old dog, 14 in dog years, is considered fully mature. It would be an incredible challenge to find a fully mentally and developmentally mature 14-year-old human. Next myth, mutts are healthier than purebred dogs. Well, the answer is mutts are less inbred than purebred dogs, but with a good breeder, a purebred dog will be just as healthy as a mutt of a similar breed. Good breeders only sell dogs in person, have an application process that requires home inspections and reference checks, have proper accommodations based on breed and quantity of the dogs, and they're knowledgeable of the common health problems associated with the breed and can provide the documentation proving that the dog has been bred with dogs lacking those health issues and not overbreeding with their dogs. Kennels and purebred dogs can be just as healthy as a mutt, but you got to be careful, all right? Next myth. Garlic is an all-natural way to rid your dog of worms, fleas, and ticks. Truth? Garlic can be very beneficial to the human circulatory system and is used in many folk remedies for ticks and infections and etc. However, most root vegetables, especially those in the onion family, are toxic to dogs in large quantities and have been proven to damage red blood cells. So, it's unlikely that your dog would be able to consume enough raw garlic or onion to hurt itself, but more concentrated forms like garlic or onion powder and soup mixes frequently cause toxicity, and that results in a trip to the animal ER for a blood transfusion. So, yeah, I guess in a way, you know, I'm saying definitely anything that could cause a trip to the ER, doggy ER, because you know how expensive they are, is a no-no. Hold on, text. I'll get to you in a second. I'm in the middle of something. Myth. The inside of a dog's mouth is cleaner than its owner's. Whew. Now, you know, this myth goes way, way back. It goes hand in hand with another popular myth. Dogs lick their wounds to make them heal faster. This leads to the inference that dogs' mouths are sterile and licking their wounds removes bacteria, resulting in faster healing. Well, let me tell you this. Dogs will eat anything, like their own poop. We've seen that. Licking a wound to a dog is like scratching a mosquito bite to a human. It's just that urge you get. Dogs get hurt, they lick. You get a bite, you scratch. Dogs' mouths are filled with bacteria, and they are nowhere near as clean as humans. Little fact and fiction, myth and reality, there about dogs. Oh, a little more coffee. And I'll be right back with another story here on Remasculate. Well, you guys know that this show is called Remasculate, and it started off as a way to kind of remasculate America, to get rid of the pussification of America, and, you know, bring back the man, the manly things. I wanted to do a podcast about manly things, you know, like the last story, a man and his dog. Who doesn't love that, you know? And ladies, you love your man, and you want your man to be a man's man. So here's a little something for both of you. This story, it could help the guys. And ladies, if you're listening, you might be able to help your man with these things too. So this story, this next one, is kind of for everybody. Because, you know, a man's man, you gets to be a man's man because your testosterone is good. Now, you know, we've always heard about this testosterone replacement. Well, that's turning into a bad thing. Well, if you watch TV, it's like, are you taking testosterone replacement? Call the law firm of Suis and Suis. Because apparently this hormone therapy is causing some heart attacks and high risk of stroke and whatever. And maybe there's a way to boost your testosterone without having to go the horrible, medical, profitable, pharmaceutical way. Now, there's boosters. There's testosterone boosters. You can find them in the vitamin store, all the Vitamin Cottage, Whole Foods, Whole Paycheck, whatever you call it, got it. Do testosterone boosters, do they work? There are supplements out there that promise to increase your libido while also upping your testosterone. And there are supplements that market themselves as T-boosters. There's companies that claim to have developed a pill that contains the male enhancement properties. And by that, I think they're saying that makes you Johnson bigger, but I'm not sure. You've seen those commercials on TV. Smiling Bob! Hey, why are the ladies smiling? I don't think that's the pills that I'm actually talking about right here. The pills that I'm talking about are this testosterone-boosting pills. For guys who are mainly looking to increase their testosterone, these extra benefits can seem like the icing on the cake, which makes these supplements highly marketable. But when it comes to actually boosting T, do they really work? That's the question. Supplements that tout themselves foremost as libido enhancers make up for the majority of the market for testosterone boosters. But most don't have any effect on testosterone levels, so why do people buy them like crazy? Simple. You, quote, think they're working. When your testosterone level go up, so does your libido. Unfortunately, the in reverse is not true. Your libido levels can go up without your testosterone levels going up too. That's how most supposed T boosters work. They make you feel ornery, leading you to think that your T levels have gotten higher, when they actually haven't. In rare cases, supplements will result in a 20% testosterone increase. This kind of improvement may sound impressive, but is irrelevant for practical purposes. If you treat these supplements for what they are, libido boosters, you may be happy with the results. Now the question is, can I boost my testosterone or not? Working testosterone boosters do exist, but they're not very exciting. They're not like life-changing because at most they'll increase your testosterone level 20 to 50%. Compare that to a low dose of a steroid cycle, which offers a 300 increase minimum. You may not be able to tell whether or not a supplement is working without getting a blood test. Even then, blood tests can only take your T levels at that exact amount, which can fluctuate based on a lot of different variables. Bottom line is, it's easy to promise a testosterone boost when few people are actually checking those levels. Okay, now here's a breakdown of the most popular testosterone boosters. Tribulus is the number one selling testosterone booster and is the best example of a supplement that increases libido but has no effect on testosterone. There is the D-aspartic acid, or it's called D-AA. It was thrown into the spotlight after a study showed supplementing this D-AA could increase testosterone up to 42% after just 12 days. This sparked a frenzy of people wanting the supplement, which in a few weeks, people were reporting greatly increased libido as well as increased testicle size. No, why would you want that? Unfortunately, another study done that spanned a longer time period found that about a month's worth of DAA supplements, testosterone levels return to normal. Zinc and magnesium, which are both part of the ZMA formula, are frequently recommended as a testosterone booster for athletes. These minerals are lost through sweat and during exercise. If you're deficient, supplementing with zinc or magnesium could take your testosterone levels to your normal baseline. Additional zinc or magnesium will not increase testosterone levels above the normal level. Maca is a vegetable marketed as a non-hormonal libido enhancer. Maca libido enhancing properties occur after prolonged supplementation, rather than immediately after a single dose. More research is needed to determine how maca works in the body to increase the libido, and maca does not boost testosterone. So there's another not doing its job. Fenugreek, F-E-N-U-G-R-E-E-K, I think I'm saying that right, fenugreek, is technically a testosterone booster. It contains 5-alpha, well, let me go back on this. Fenugreek is technically a testosterone booster. It contains 5-alpha inhibitors, which prevent testosterone from being turned into DHT. Now, here's the thing about DHT. Most people don't know this, or maybe the guys do. DHT is what causes hair loss. So this could be a good thing if you want to prevent testosterone from turning into DHT and hair loss. Here's the results. A relative increase in testosterone, okay, but and two, there's a decrease in DHT, which is thought to lower the libido. Oh, so you want to keep your hair, you lower your libido. Okay, this kind of sucks. Fenugreek supplementation can cause the urine and sweat to smell like maple syrup. Huh? Ugh. All right, so that's one I'm definitely going to have to check into because, I just kind of like the way that sounds. Except for the maple syrup smelling urine. Don't really care for that. Tongkat Ally. That's the next one. Tongkat Ally is a Malaysian herb that has traditionally been used as an aphrodisiac. This supplement provides a very mild testosterone boost when supplemented in infertile people, but has no effect on healthy men. Okay, well, moving on then. Next one, L-DOPA, is sometimes called a testosterone booster because of the way it interacts with prolactin. Prolactin is suppressed by dopamine activity. The average healthy male does not have an elevated prolactin unless he's on steroids, and you shouldn't be, you're not supposed to be, that's bad for you. So supplementing the L-DOPA will not increase your testosterone levels. Well, there's another one. Vitamin D stepped into the testosterone booster shelf after a single study found that overweight men taking vitamin D experienced an increase in testosterone. This study has not been replicated, but since then, vitamin D has been making its way into a variety of dietary supplements under the guise of raising testosterone levels. Vitamin D supplementation may potentially boost testosterone levels, but further research is needed to determine if it really has any effect on the levels of young people and athletes. But, you know, vitamin D is good for you, so, hell, you know, why not give it a chance? So, here's the question. Is there no magic pill? While it'd be nice to buy a pill from the local supplement store that has your testosterone levels go up, a magic pill just does not exist. As you can see from the rundown we've been talking about here, few supplements have any effect on your T levels, and especially if they're really low. None will significantly raise your testosterone level above that baseline level. So here's what you really need to do to make your testosterone levels higher. This is the basic. You need to lift weights, get enough sleep, don't carry around too much excess fat, and ensure your diet is varied and includes leafy greens and animal fats. If you do have a condition causing low T, your doctor could prescribe those pharmaceuticals, but that's what we're trying to avoid here. So here's the deal, lift weights, get sleep, and don't be fat, and eat right. It's pretty simple. That's what you need to do, okay? So in conclusion, most of these don't work, but, you know, hey, if it's vitamins, I'm all for vitamins. I love a good vitamin regime. I take probably more than I should, but, you know, makes me feel better, and if it's psychological even, I still go for it. Besides, an increased libido has to be good, right? You feel good, yeah, your libido's good, you get laid, you feel good about yourself, you say, hey, I'm a manly man, I'm gonna go to the gym, I'm gonna work out, now you're lifting weights, and you're losing that fat, and you're eating better, and you're increasing your testosterone. So in a way, isn't it all cycle looped together? You know, just be healthy and it'll all work out. I think that's the real answer right there, is just work out, be healthy, eat right, and remasculate. Now, this last little story I have here probably just kind of negates the last part of just eating right and working out, but I found this article about spam. As you know, I love Hawaii, and in Hawaii, spam is everywhere. They love their spam. Found the thing about facts about spam. 10 fascinating facts about spam. Did you know that spam was introduced by Hormel in 1937 and has since become the undisputed champion of mystery meat? While nearly every American has heard of the canned meat, few know the story behind the product. Since nothing impresses the ladies more than canned meat expertise, here's some facts that will probably help get you laid. Okay? The name. Where did it come from? Only a few Hormel executives know the significance of the name Spam. While people have, say, they've said it probably means something posing as meat, some say it's derived from the words spiced ham or the acronym for shoulders of pork and ham. I've always said Spam stands for spandex ham because it's like stretchy meat, but I know that's not right. It's a convenient source of protein that requires no refrigeration. 100 million pounds of Spam were shipped to Allied troops during World War II. As a matter of fact, Russian President Khrushchev said, without Spam, we wouldn't have been able to feed our army. The hard times food recently surged in sales again, thanks to our crummy economy. To show support during the war, Hormel even created a mascot named Slammin' Spammy. The scowling, bomb-tossing cartoon pig was painted on planes, depicted on posters, and silkscreened onto t-shirts. Oddly enough, Spammy was more upset about the war than the fact that nearly 20,000 of its piggy pals were being slaughtered every day to make this meat concoction. Spam has earned a place in pop culture history, partially thanks to the Brits. The canned creation made its television debut on Monty Python's Flying Circus in 1970. A collector's edition of Spam was introduced to celebrate the opening of Spam-a-Lot in London. Hormel produces 44,000 cans of Spam every single hour. Now, that sounds like a lot, but consider the fact that canned good is available in 41 countries and comes in 14 varieties. The company hit a milestone in 2007 when it sold its 7 billion can of Spam. Despite what critics say, the world loves Spam. Though people often refer to Spam as mystery meat, the company has always been clear and honest about their ingredients. The classic variety is composed of pork shoulders, ham, salt, water, sugar, potato starch, and sodium nitrate to keep the product pink. Unlike most hot dogs, Spam does not contain lips, ass, and other mechanically separated parts. And I want to put quotes on the mechanically separated parts. Like I was saying earlier, these are the Hawaii facts. Hawaii ranks highest among the states in Spam consumption, downing 7 million cans a year. Found in grocery stores, it's even included on the McDonald's menu and featured in high-end restaurants. Spam should probably be added to the state flag, fed to the state bird, and featured in the state song. Aloha Spam, Aloha Spam. American soldiers stationed in the South Pacific during World War II ate Spam-heavy diets. The pork product eventually caught on with the natives of Guam, who now devour a whopping 16 cans per person per year. Since Spam has some serious amounts of sodium, we wonder if Guam might have a little bit of a blood pressure problem. That's possible. The people of the Philippines love Spam so much that they had a restaurant based entirely around Spam. It's called Spam Jam. The restaurant offers a variety of dishes featuring the meat, including spaghetti, eggs, and a burger. Do you know that there's a Spam gift set? And it can run up to $45 American and is considered an appropriate wedding gift in many parts of Southeast Asia. Now, if this little tidbit here didn't satisfy your Spam curiosity, you might want to visit the official Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota. Spambassadors roaming the 16,000 square foot building will guide you through a detailed Hormel history. You can try your hand at carving Spam, view the evolution of the Spam can, and check out live cooking demonstrations at the location. Well, that's about it for the day. I found a few stories I wanted to tell you about, get them out there to you, have a little fun today. Sorry I didn't have a guest for you this week, but I will have a good one for you next time. If not, I'll just have better stories for you. Until next time, we'll see you on Remasculate. Oh, God bless America, and go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu. Aloha, Spam. Aloha, Spam. Hey, support the podcast. Click on the donate button on my Podbean page. And, you know, just share the podcast with your friends. Let's remasculate America. Peace out, sauerkraut.